From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. I am one of your hosts, Seth Kaiser, and I am here with my good friend and current enemy of the entire city of Kansas City, Chris Clark. Chris, man, it's good to be here with you today.
Yeah, thank you for throwing me under the bus again there, buddy.
You know, that's really not right, because it just...
To be fair, though, I do want to say this real quick. To be fair, when I first looked at that list, I will admit, I didn't see Darnold on the list.
Right. No, and that's fine. So, okay.
I completely skipped that over is, that.
No, and I get it, too. And, you know, to be fair, I think someone needs to provide a counter perspective for every perspective. And that's important for conversation. And you get a lot of crap for that. And I don't know if you maybe should. So to provide a little context for people, I think most people that listen probably follow the Locked On account or me or you on Twitter. So they probably caught some of this. But Colin Coward, right? He released a list of like the top 10 best playmaker offenses in the NFL, and it didn't include the Chiefs, which that one's hilarious. I'm sorry, that one's that's
right,
funny.
No, absolutely. Yeah,
and that's that you didn't take issue with that one, right?
Well, I wasn't okay. I played devil's advocate on the second
right,
part. I wasn't
right. So
I do yes. take issue with it, because I do think that it's ridiculous that Kansas City's not even in the top 10 in his
right.
list.
So you do take issue with that one. I'm sorry. My phrasing was just awful there. So you think Kansas City absolutely has a top 10 group of playmakers?
As long as they stay healthy, yeah, absolutely.
All right, and I don't think you're going to get a lot of pushback on that. Because, you know, and health permitting is everyone. But, I mean, the idea –
Well, okay, but secondly – sorry to interrupt, but ESPN just came out with a list, and I'm trying to remember who did it.
Bill Barnwell.
Thank you. Bill Barnwell just came out. Who was number one?
The Chiefs.
Yeah.
With regards to playmakers. And that's the interesting part. Like, you know, people can talk to me about maybe, you know, Tyreek Hill running a more limited route tree, which I'm going to review his film before training camp starts. He's on my list. I'm not going to get to everyone. I'm reviewing Reggie Ragland right now, but I am going to get to Tyreek Hill, because I do think there's some truth in the fact that he doesn't run the same route tree as, say, like Antonio Brown, right?
Right.
But neither does T.Y. Hilton.
Well, but to be fair, he shouldn't also be expected to run the same route tree as Antonio Brown. He hasn't been a wide receiver near as long.
Right. And he also, I mean, it seems like he's putting in the work from everything I'm seeing. Seems like he wants to be great. I think he's realizing, hey, I could maybe be great instead of just a very, very good. And here's the thing with him, though. Even if you, let's say you stipulate to the idea that he ran a limited route tree last year, which we'll, I don't know how true or untrue that is. When you are the best in the league at something as important as deep ball threat, that matters.
Yep.
And that alters defenses. And so even if you stipulate to the knock on Tyreek Hill, he's still an incredibly dangerous player that most teams, any team, would kill to have.
Absolutely.
And then when you throw in Travis Kelce, there are very few teams that have a wide receiver tight end combo that can match those two. Would you agree with that?
I honestly can't think of one that matches it.
Right, just because, well, because Kelce's so much better than almost every other tight end. And so then you throw in Sammy Watkins, and it becomes kind of like, I mean, it's just ridiculous. So that's not the one that I was alluding to, because then you throw in Kareem Hunt, too. I mean, it's just absurd. The playmakers they have are absurd. Chris Conley's your fourth or fifth option, and he's a decent role player receiver. And so what the one that got you in trouble that I was teasing you about – it was a list of the five best young quarterbacks, I think he said, in the NFL. And who was on that? It was Garoppolo, and I don't even remember who else. Wentz. And then, I seriously cannot remember. I know Sam Darnold was on there, and that's the one that I think got everyone fired up.
Deshaun Watson was on there. Sorry, that was the third one.
Oh, that was a great moment of dead time there where I'm like, Chris? Deshaun Watson. That, you know, that's an interesting one to have on there. So you've got Watson, you've got Wentz, you've got Garoppolo.
I'm looking.
Dak Prescott.
Yep, that was the fourth one.
And so it went in this order, 1-5, Wentz, Garoppolo, Watson, Prescott, Darnold. And like you said, you didn't necessarily see Darnold on there because, you know, Coward's take is, you know, I haven't seen enough of Patrick Mahomes. And then to throw Darnold on there, it's like, wait, that doesn't make sense. So you go ahead, you spit out, this is your chance to defend yourself, Chris. This is your chance to make the point in a place that isn't Twitter, to where your point can actually be made before everyone starts shouting at you.
I had plenty of shouting at me yesterday, so I, you know, that's already going. No, my point was I looked at the top four. I didn't even pay attention to the fifth one. Everybody asked me about Sam Darnold. I didn't see the name on the list because I wasn't paying. I saw Mahomes was not on there, and I played devil's. I said I'll play devil's advocate for a second. What has Mahomes done to deserve to be on this list? Because if you look at his stats, and I'm not trying to say I analyze based on stats, but most people are not going to sit there and watch every single game a QB plays.
Right.
And Mahomes' stats aren't great. They were decent, but he didn't have a touchdown.
Right. So you've got the one game. And a guy like Coward, it's not like he's known as being like – the film guy. This isn't like you know, Danny Kelly with the Ringer, or Riddick, or, you know, Matt Miller, or the PFF guys, or whatever, right?
No, and I've been outspoken. I think Mahomes is going to be a very good quarterback. My point was
not great.
my simple point was that I'm okay with him not being on this list this year because. Sure. He played one game. Deshaun Watson played, I don't remember, 5 or 6 games and looked very good. So to me, it doesn't matter to me that Mahomes isn't on that list, playing one game that was garbage time at best in a lot of senses. Didn't really bother me. He's not on that list.
Sure. And so I think, now to play devil's advocate to your advocate, so I guess to play angel's advocate, which I'm very comfortable with where I'm at here.
Oh, I'm sure you are.
So I think the counter argument, I think what got people fired up was the idea that it's that whole, it's almost like what Broncos fans have been kind of saying to themselves is, oh, that game didn't matter. You know, they didn't play their starters enough and all that. And so the question I would ask you, do you think personally, not about the list now, do you think that that game was a positive sign for Mahomes, or do you think it was meaningless?
In the grand scheme of things, it's meaningless, but I do think it was a positive game for him.
What is this? Do I have to treat you as a hostile witness?
Go ahead. No. My simple point is that it didn't matter for Kansas City. That is my entire point. When I talk meaningless, that's what I mean. I'm not talking it's meaningless for Mahomes himself. No, it wasn't meaningless for him. It's meaningless for the team.
And that's what I think people need to understand is that you're not really taking that position. You're offering the counter argument. And I think for you, because I mean, I know talking to you about that game, you've talked to me about some of the stuff that he did that game, some of the throws that he made, some of the stuff that he put on film was impressive stuff that's promising for his future, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Right. And so I think your overall point is telling people, you know, the hype train is building, and I think it's just going to keep building because, I mean, we'll see what kind of training camp he has. Maybe that'll derail it a little bit because I know, like, there was one OTA practice where he threw a couple picks and everyone lost their mind. But your big thing is you're just telling people, okay, just keep in mind that Mahomes may not be, you know, an all-pro out of the gate. Would that be a pretty accurate summation of your stance?
Yes. Because you look at people, and I'm not trying to call – I won't call this person out specifically, although if you go back and look at the Twitter timeline, you'll figure out who I'm talking about. But when somebody tells me that he's going to be the next Aaron Rodgers, I think that's going a little too far.
Aaron Rodgers plays quarterback at as high a level as we've ever seen.
And I think Mahomes will be very good, but I don't think that it's fair to look at Aaron Rodgers and say Mahomes is going to have that in his – basically rookie season.
Right. If Mahomes turns into a version of Rodgers, like say with similar playing style and is 90% as good, he's going to have a fantastic career.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's a really good place to kind of to jump off there with the idea that, you know, you're not saying that you're not hyped about Mahomes. You're saying, okay, it's all right that one guy put other players who have a lot more, you know, Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, even Deshaun Watson, even Jimmy Garoppolo, they've all got a lot more game experience. We got a lot more film, a lot more reason to say, okay, these guys can play. That sound about right?
Yep. And even if I wanted to make the argument about Darnold, he's coming from USC. He got drafted number 3 overall. I mean, the hype is there just because of where he was drafted. Sure. But like I said, I didn't even pay attention to who the 5th one was. You know, it's okay.
Had you seen Darnold, you probably would have been a little more like, okay, that's kind of crap, right?
Maybe.
A tiny bit. Just like even a little.
I don't agree that he should be on that list, but at the same time, I still don't know. I would consider Mariota still a young QB. I mean, what's the definition of a young QB? To me, Mariota should be on that list.
That's a solid point, although I don't think Marcus Mariota is very good at being an actual QB. I think he's just a really good athlete. But that's for another day. And so, man, of course, because it's you and me, we've gone over. We don't have Ryan here to keep us in line. And so we're going to take a quick break. And so we talked about maybe some realistic expectations for Mahomes and maybe tampering the bandwagon a little bit. After this, we're going to take a look at what some realistic expectations, optimistic, pessimistic, whatever, for the offense itself. So we're going to do that right after this.
This episode is sponsored by Core Essentials. That's K-O-R-E. Core Essentials makes the best belt you'll ever own. What makes the Core track belt so awesome? No belt holes. That's right. Instead, their belts use a hidden track in the back of the belt with over 40 size points to choose from. The Core track belt adjusts to match your waist exactly. Each point on the Core track belt is just a quarter inch apart. That's simple. Small innovation means that you get a precise, steady, and comfortable fit every time you put it on. Removing or adjusting your track belt is simple. Pinch the small tab under the buckle. Core's patented design also makes it easy to move the buckle or swap styles. Core track belts ship one size to fit every waist from 24 to 44 inches with an XL belt that goes up to 54 inches. You adjust the size yourself using their easy guide. Core offers a line of full fashion belts, including double stitched with full grain leather and smooth belts with no stitching, as well as gun belts for concealed carry. They also offer a stylish assortment of buckle faces made using solid stainless steel or high grade zinc alloys. Core's men's belt carry a 30-day money back guarantee and a full 1-year warranty against all defects, unusual wear, or breakage. So feel confident when you shop and know that you're covered. But trust me, you're going to love it and want to get rid of all your other belts. Visit coreessentials.com to learn more and to get your Core track belt to see firsthand why it's the best belt you'll ever own. Seriously, once you go Core track, you'll never go back. And we've got a special offer just for our listeners. Save 10% on your order when you use our code LOCKEDON at checkout. That's Core with a K, coreessentials.com, and use the LOCKEDON code to save 10% off your order. All right, before we get to that, I have to say this one thing. What do you think realistic expectations are for Mahomes? Because when Ryan and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I had done a Twitter query of people, and people are expecting him to throw for over 4,000 yards and 30 TDs, and they're okay with 10 or 11 interceptions, and those are the numbers I'm getting. And to me, there's been two QBs in NFL history, I think, that have – as rookies threw for more than 4,000 yards. And I realize he's not a rookie, but he is pretty close to one. And 30 TDs is still a lot for anybody that was close on that list. I think the top was 26, and that was Peyton Manning. So
I guess I would say realistic expectations statistically should be altered based on a few things. One, the nature of the game now, as opposed to most of the history sample that you have. Right? Because the game is different now than it was even 10 years ago. And then everything before that, you know, forget about it, right? Like, I mean, you know, Troy Aikman never had a season like, you know, half the quarterbacks had last year. So I think statistically.
True. But Cam Newton was on that list.
Sure.
So statistically, I mean, he threw for the most, like, 4,200 or 300 yards and, like, 23 or 24 touchdowns.
Right. And I think, you know, the thing with every situation that you're going to find, though. And my guy Nate Taylor is actually working on a piece, and I put out a tweet asking people to do a little research for me, because, you know, that's a lot easier than me doing it myself. I think the problem with setting realistic expectations for Mahomes is he's coming into a situation like we've just basically never seen.
It's true.
We've never seen a quarterback take over a top five offense. Like that played so well, because we saw, and I think that's what's really causing the hype with regards to stats, is that Alex Smith was so much better statistically last year than he was every other year of his career. You know, way more yards, way more touchdowns. And I mean, by way more, I'm talking like a 25-30% uptick. I mean, that's huge.
Yep.
And so I think what people are seeing with that is, okay, this offense did that for a guy that was traditionally a low stats guy. What can it do for someone who maybe is a little more variance in terms of his success rate? So, you know, maybe Mahomes throws for 15 picks, but is much more likely to hit 4,000 yards than Alex ever would have been. And so I think that's where it comes from, is we saw what the offense did last year. And of course, as you know, not only did they not really lose anyone, you know, they lost Wilson, which I think the loss of Wilson, even though they play kind of different roles, I think that's balanced out by the return of Conley.
Yep.
Like the guy who plays all over the field. I wrote a review on him. They lined him up everywhere. They had him run all kinds of routes, just like they did with Wilson. And if anything, Conley can be used in more of a variety of ways. And so you've got that bouncing out. The only guy you really lost, you know, Fulton, people got to remember, Fulton did not win the starting job last year. He only played because of injury. And so you got this great offense that kept the whole band together and then added Sammy Watkins. And I think that's where people are getting crazy. And so,
well, and you've got a QB that actually keeps his eyes up, which is something that it's really hard to take into account what kind of statistics that's going to add to his numbers at the end of the year. And I completely get that. My whole point and the reason I went devil's advocate on this, this whole conversation was, you sit here and you watch what people are starting to expect from Mahomes.
Yeah.
And I remember what I remember Alex Smith having an off game where he threw for 220 yards and a TD, and people were saying that was crap.
Sure.
I mean, that's the problem you get into, is when your expectations become so high, living up to them is not something that is really going to be able to be done.
Right, because no,
and that's a bad situation for a young QB.
Right. Well, no quarterback, what you're saying, throws for 3 touchdowns and 300 yards every game. That's just not how it works, unless you're talking like, you know, record breaking years that a few quarterbacks have.
Unless you're talking Drew Brees.
Right.
And Drew Brees, I mean, he's been in the league for so long, it's a little different. I mean, it's a completely different situation.
Absolutely. And that makes sense. I think, so like as far as realistic expectations for Mahomes, and now that we're talking about this, I think I'm going to have to write an article about it a little bit longer. I don't want to step on the toes of what my guy Nate's doing, because it's kind of a different thing. But what are realistic expectations? You know, what have other first and second year guys done? And I think what you want to do is look at, rather than just that, look at the averages of quarterbacks over the last 3 or 4 years. Because really that's when things have started to explode.
True.
Maybe 5. And so I don't think 4,000 yards is unrealistic. When you factor in, like you talk about, you know, eyes up and some of the throws that he makes, like across the field where, you know, he's scrambling, but he sees someone across the field and he makes those throws that no one else can make.
Or no look passes.
Yeah. Or those no look passes. Those that I think when you combine all those, I bet those are good for an extra 600, 700 yards, even if they're also good for an extra 2 or 3 picks. Right?
Could be.
And so I'm not really – I think 4,000 yards is very achievable with the offense that they've put together. I think you're probably, unless he is everything we're hoping as a second-year player. If he's everything we're hoping, I don't think you're out of the question talking 35, 40 touchdowns. But if he's not, like, you know, if he's, you know, what we're expecting maybe instead of what we're hoping to, you know, pick nits. I think capping it off at 30 is pretty reasonable as like the ceiling. I think what what would be more realistic probably is I'm thinking a 4,000 yard season, you know, 27, 28 touchdowns, kind of what we saw from Alex Smith last year statistically, except I would say maybe 200, 300 more yards, a couple more touchdowns, a few more picks.
Well, and the question really becomes, what are you going to have with the defense? Because if you have a defense who cannot keep the opposing offense off out of the end zone, then it changes the way that Andy Reid is going to have to play. And I'm really wondering, you know, looking at this offense and looking what they can do, is it, I expect Reid to use Mahomes' ability, but I also wonder if Reid is going to look at it and say, look, we know what he can do. There's no reason for him to have to go out there and do that game in, game out and throw for 350 yards a game. We have one of the best running back duos in the NFL. We need to use it.
That would be really cool to see. And that's, you know, that's the other side of things. They've got the ability to run the ball very well. And so there's just a lot of variables there. There's a lot of things. But I would say realistic expectations for Mahomes. And like I said, I might write an article about this just because my interest is up. You know, trying to figure out, you know, what's realistic, what's fair.
And real quick, before you go there, also list how many INTs you think he's going to get, and then we need to take a quick break.
All right. I think 4,200 yards, 28 touchdowns, 14 interceptions.
So 2-1.
Yep.
Okay. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we will actually talk about the expectations or what this offense can hit. All right, so we've talked about Mahomes for almost 20 minutes now.
Yep.
Imagine that.
That's about right.
Funny how that works. What are your expectations for this offense?
I think this offense is going to be one of the best offenses in the NFL. I would be surprised if it weren't top five again. No pressure.
Top five again.
Yeah. Talking like Football Outsiders, DVOA, scoring, that kind of thing. You know, they had that horrible swoon during the middle of last season, and they still ended up one of the best offenses in the league overall. I think the goal with Mahomes is that, let's say your ceiling when everything's clicking is exactly the same as it was with Alex, right? Because like some of those games where Alex was clicking, I mean, he was shredding defenses. It was cool.
Yep.
I think the idea with Mahomes is when everything isn't clicking, oh my God, man, I just got done watching, because I'm reviewing Reggie Ragland's film, I just got done watching the Chiefs-Giants game. Holy crap. Like, I was only reviewing the defensive snaps, and all I can think is the offense was so putrid for them to lose that game. Like, so putrid. And I think the idea is a guy like Mahomes, on those days where just nothing's working, he's that variance guy that'll get you one of those big plays or two that can maybe shake things loose a little bit. And so my expectation is that even if overall, as a quarterback, let's say he's about the equivalent of Alex Smith, which would be really solid for a second-year player.
Yep.
If he's equivalent with the stylistic difference, I think the overall offense is better. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get where you're going with that. The question I would have in that regard is, if the offense is better, and this is more of an expansion than necessarily a question about what you're saying, how many more times do you think they're taking deep shots on a game basis, on a per game basis? Say they had four. I don't remember. I should have looked up the stat, but say they had four last year per game. Mm-hmm. Do you think that number goes up to six?
I think it should. Now, to be fair, I thought it should last year too. You're not dealing with a normal player in Tyreek Hill. He has the potential to be the best deep threat the NFL has seen since, what, Moss? Now, I'm not saying he'll still pass Moss, because Moss, no one will ever do that again. That was insane. But he is a freak deep threat.
Yeah, his combination of size and speed were ridiculous.
Yeah, like that'll never happen again, I don't think. I mean, you know what? We shouldn't say that. I'm sure one day someone will come along that's just as freakish. But Hill, he really does get college separation out there. And so you should be throwing more deep shots than any other team. You really should, because you've got a guy like him. And then also it forces teams to play you differently. And you also
have Watkins on the other side,
who is an exceptional deep threat too. And that's why I'm thinking six per game. You know, I mean, what is that? Three apiece? You know, well, doesn't Kelsey need one or two? Conley can do a little bit deep as well. And Robinson, he's got speed to get open deep. I really would love to see them start running some track meets out there. Just because they have the personnel to do things that other teams can't do. No other team could run three verts with guys like Hill, Watkins, and Kelsey. And that's excluding like the more role player type guys that have some speed themselves. That's an absurd trio for running three verts. Like, those are guys that can also win down the field. And not because, you know, Hill isn't obviously a big guy, but he tracks the ball way better than defensive players. And so he ends up coming down with those contested catches. Travis Kelsey's good with that. Sammy Watkins is good with that.
I'm just waiting to see, and I can't imagine how much fun this is going to be, but to see Hill, Watkins, and Kelsey in a trio on one side of the ball.
There's just a lot that can be done there. There's just a lot of foolish things that can be done.
But it's going to happen. Oh, I mean, absolutely. Andy Reid is going to use that to his advantage.
Right.
And maybe that actually plays into Conley's best attributes as well, because you put him on the other side, he's going to beat most coverages one-on-one, I would think.
And, you know, so Conley's one of those guys that can win some contested matchups, especially against a secondary corner, you know, a guy who's maybe not quite mm-hmm. as good. And so there's just so many options there. And what was interesting, I actually wrote, oh man, I haven't done my plug for The Athletic, where I write. I don't know if you knew that, Chris.
I did not.
Yeah, you can subscribe.
And where's Nate Taylor?
Nate Taylor writes for The Athletic too. He's been churning out good stuff. It's been the best. It's kind of cool. Like, on a side note, every week I have more people telling me that they've signed on and stuff, and that's just cool. People are awesome to support like that. But anyway, all that aside, I wrote about some of the things the Chiefs did with Hill and Kelsey on the same side of the field with some of just like your basic like Mills concepts with like your deep crosser and the post, you know, like things like that. And because of who they are, it just was a nightmare for defenses. Well, now you can do that with him and Watkins too. And then put Hill on the other side of the field. And so they have to roll a safety over there, which means, I mean, what are they going to do? Roll an extra safety to both sides of the field? I mean, there's just a lot going on here. And so that's why I think unless Mahomes is bad or just really, really average, like when I say average, I mean like, I don't know, who's a really average quarterback? I get like a Case Keenum.
Blake Bortles?
Yeah, like a Blake Bortles even. You know, because Bortles, Bortles is average in a weird way though. Like, he's either really good or he sucks, it seems like. It's like an Andy Dalton kind of average. But like, unless he is bad or super average, the offense is going to be really, really good. And even if he struggles, okay, fine, then we're going to build an offense around deep shots and Kareem Hunt. Well, okay, well, we found out the kid's not ready to run an offense, so we're going to throw 15 deep balls a game, count on variance. They're basically arm punts, right?
You know, honestly, the thing I like most about what they're doing with this offense is the one position that they are going to struggle at is tight end two. Yep. But you look at this offense and say something happens to Travis Kelsey again, like happened in the Titan game. This offense isn't going to be shut down because you still have Sammy Watkins and you still have Tyreek Hill. And if something happens to one of them, you still have Chris Conley. I feel comfortable in those four guys. The depth of this team is a lot better offensively at skill positions than it's been in a very, very long time.
Right. And then your depth guys have another year in the system, which is important if you want them to come in and play at a mediocre level or an average level rather than a terrible level. And so all of it, I don't know about you. I didn't give like a – but so I said top five. What are you thinking?
I think they're easily top 10. It really just depends on how everything and how the chemistry meshes.
Right.
I mean, right now, looking at the pieces, it looks like it should be a top five offense. But until they all get on the field and you see how everything fits together, it's really hard to say.
I can get on board with that.
I'm sure I'll hear about it on Twitter, but – yeah. It's okay.
Yeah, well, what are you gonna do?
I got broad shoulders.
Everyone needs to be every podcast needs that guy, Chris. And we're very grateful that you're willing to be that guy.
The funny thing is I am very optimistic, and I don't know that there was almost anybody happier when Patrick Mahomes was drafted than I was last year. So
right.
That is going to be it for us today. Thank you all for listening. Ryan should be back for tomorrow, and we will talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.